Divine Shepherd Lutheran Church and School in Black Hawk, South Dakota, is happy to share God's Word preached for you by Pastor Randy Sturzenbecker. We pray that you will rejoice in Christ crucified and resurrected for you. The waters of baptism, the Lord's Supper, and the forgiveness of sins, all for you, from Jesus.
The Old Testament reading this morning comes from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 25 through 31. To whom then will you compare me, that I should be like him, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see, who created these? He who brings out their host by number, calling them all by name, by the greatness of his might, and because he is strong in power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. This is the word of the Lord. The Catechetical Review, the Apostles' Creed, the Second Article, Redemption. Excuse me. Please read with me. And in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Almighty Father. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. What does this mean? That I may be his own and live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true. The epistle reading this morning comes from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 through 20. Beloved, I urge you as sojourner and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Be subject for the Lord's sake for every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent to him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. For this is a gracious thing. When mindful of God, one endures sorrow while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And as you are able. This is the Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 16th chapter. Jesus said, "A little while, and you will see me no longer, and again a little while, and you will see me. So some of his disciples said to one another, what is this that he says to us? A little while, and you will not see me, and again a little while, and you will see me, and because I am going to the Father. So they were saying, what does he mean by a little while? We do not know what he is talking about. Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him, so he said to them, is this what you are asking yourselves, what I meant by saying, a little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me? Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish, for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Jubilate. Though the Latin words that title for the various Sundays after Easter have been dropped from our new Lutheran service book and hymnal, they are retained in the old one. And those Latin phrases pack a punch. They say what needs to be said in a wonderful way. So we could call this Sunday Rejoice Sunday. Jubilate. Important. Can you imagine the confusion that must have been in the minds of the disciples as Jesus said the words of the gospel lesson to them this morning? In a little while, you'll not see me anymore, and then after a while, you'll see me again. They had spent about 3 years with Jesus. They had come to depend upon him. They had come to love him. They didn't want him to be gone. Can you imagine the confusion in their minds when he said, you're not going to see me in a little while. And then, in a little while, you're going to see me then. How confused they must have been as they had spent 3 years of their lives getting to know and really love this man whom Peter had confessed really for them all, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And even when Jesus told them, I'm going to be going away, and I'll send a helper for you, the Spirit of Truth. I can imagine their mind saying, who is this helper, this Spirit of Truth? We want you, Jesus. We don't want that other, whatever that guy is. We want you. We depend on you. We need you. Jesus had often spoken about the kingdom of God coming. Now they were wondering, how can the kingdom of God come when you're not here anymore? It did not make any sense, and their hearts were breaking. Jesus, I'm sure, saw the confusion, and he said to them these words of the gospel lesson, because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Yes, the world would rejoice when Jesus was no longer a problem. See, he was a problem to those who were the leaders of the Jewish nation. He was a problem. He needed to be gotten rid of. The world would rejoice when he was gone. You know what it's like when people die? You've lost loved ones. They're no longer with us anymore. Maybe they were a thorn in your side. Maybe a neighbor or somebody you knew was somebody you really didn't like, and that one was a thorn in your side. And frankly, some people I've heard say, good riddance, glad he's gone. That's the way Jesus was understood by many people. Yet thousands of them loved him and wanted him around too. How could sorrow turn into joy? And then Jesus made a comparison, and I'll say you ladies understand this a whole lot better than us guys. He said, a woman goes into labor and she has sorrow and pain, but she's anticipating the joy because pretty soon she's going to be cradling a little baby, beautiful and wonderful in her arms. And he says, that's the way it's going to be. Because I go away, and when I come back, there'll be joy in your hearts. Jubilate. Rejoice. In my mind, I can see Peter thinking of these words of Jesus when he wrote the first in the two epistles that he wrote in the New Testament. Peter was writing to people in the, we call it the dispersion, the diaspora. And those were the places in Asia Minor, little provinces and areas. And he's writing to them, and he calls them strangers and exiles in the land. He'd come to know what it was like to be an exile, because in a way, though he was a Jewish person, maybe even living in Jerusalem a lot of the time, he found himself not part of the Jewish people anymore, living a different kind of life because he was not accepted by the Jews anymore as one of them. He knew what it was to be kind of living as one who, because a sojourner is one who lives in a place that's not their home. But there was even more. As we count ourselves having our citizenship in heaven instead of in this world full of brokenness and sin, grief and sadness, all kinds of things going wrong in our world, we look forward to that eternal home. This is the second time the disciples were going to see Jesus, you see. They were going to see him, though they did not know it then. They were going to see him after his resurrection on the third day, on that Easter Sunday, we call it. But he was also speaking about looking further ahead. That, yes, there's going to come a time when you will see me forever. Though he did not say it right now, we know that was the second time they were going to see Jesus. And imagine the joy that those apostles will have on the resurrection day. You and I have not seen Jesus with our physical eyes, but they did. And on the resurrection day, on the last day, they will see him. And I can just imagine the joy that will fill their hearts when they see Jesus. And there won't be any doubt in our minds, but they're going to be a step ahead. They're going to say, yes, this is our Jesus, the one whom we love. Then Peter wrote his letters. The Christian faith was still not something that had gained any approval in the world. The world did not rejoice at Jesus. It was still largely a problem. In fact, St. Luke in the book of Acts tells us what kind of lives the disciples led, as especially he follows St. Paul's journeys and how he was chased from one town to another. He was persecuted wherever he went. And we know how tradition tells us that all of the apostles except for John were put to death. John was exiled to the Isle of Patmos, as we read in the book of Revelation, where he wrote that book for us. But that time was a tough time. I gravitate to these letters, these epistles of Peter, and I'll tell you why. In our day, in fact, our synodical president in the Lutheran Witness Reporter, the headline was a few months back, "The End of Comfortable Christianity." As we find in our own country, more and more hostility toward Christianity, to your faith and mine, I find these words a comfort for me, as St. Peter writes, because I now realize all the more I'm an exile and a sojourner. And I look forward to my heavenly home. We even have a song about that, don't we? I'm but a stranger here. Heaven is my home. And so we look forward to that place which we will be able to live with our Lord Jesus, see him face to face for and ever. We have the testimony in the scriptures and through our spirit-given faith. For you see, when Jesus was going to go away, he said, I will send you a helper, the Spirit of Truth. That's why you and I can say with confidence, yes, we've seen Jesus. Not with our physical eyes, but through the testimony of the Scripture. Here, you and I get to see Jesus, know him, love him, trust him, just like the apostles did, except without the physical aspect of seeing his physical body. And so we see that wonderful grace. Joy and gladness is a part of what you and I experience. In fact, because of your pastor and your vicar and in this place, you hear the good news of Jesus all the time. Every time you gather, whether it's from this pulpit, from the altar when you receive Holy Communion, from the baptismal font where you receive Jesus, you see Jesus all the time. Because that's all that matters. That's all that matters in life. Is like Pastor referred to it in the rite of dedication, where those Greeks came and they said, we wish to see Jesus. They show you Jesus. That's whom you see all the time. Reminded by the cross, by the body and blood of Jesus, by the waters of baptism, which he says, go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Today, many in our land have seen Jesus too. They hear about Jesus. I should say they hear about Jesus. But sadly, a lot of times, as you listen to news, they're not seeing or hearing about the real Jesus. That's why you and I matter so much. Because they don't pay attention to the scriptures. Because them, to the world, that means nothing. And so for you and me to show them the real Jesus, as St. Peter wrote in his epistle lesson, is so important. That they get to see the love, the compassion, the kindness, the helping that Jesus gave to people while he was alive. Now, through your heart, your hands, your hearts, your words, you show Jesus to the world. So that they, by God's grace and the power of the Spirit, can come to embrace him too. So the Spirit will open their eyes to see Jesus here and realize that he is the truth. Jubilate, rejoice. Why? Because Jesus is your joy. Yeah, there's a lot of things going wrong in our world. In fact, sometimes I think if I turn off the TV, I will do a whole lot better with joy. Because on the TV, I hear really war, rumors of war, inflation, prices going up, wages going down. I hear all of that. Sometimes it's pretty hard to be full of joy. Until I remember Jesus is my joy. My only joy. Jesus said to us, he said, in this world you're going to have trouble. Yep. But then he didn't stop there, did he? He said, but take heart, I have overcome the world. You see, his victory in his death. Yes, there was victory in his death because that's where our sins were paid for. And in the victory of his resurrection, we have all we need. We're all satisfied. When Jesus is our focus, it's still all about Jesus. We've sung it in our Easter hymns about the victory, the joy that is ours in our Lord Jesus Christ. It's here we have to stay. We have to remain in the resurrection that overshadows the crucifixion. But the crucifixion stands behind it, doesn't it? So we can't forget it. We have to stay right here with Jesus. Listen to these words, what the Lord inspired the apostles to write about you and me and suffering and joy in this life. Rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. That's from 1 Peter 4. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. That's 1 Peter 1. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Romans 12. Through Jesus Christ, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. As we have heard the gospel read, we have heard Jesus say, no one will take your joy from you. Hold tightly to Jesus. Jubilate, rejoice. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.
Please stand as we approach our Savior in prayer.